Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to preach to your congregation this morning. I want to pray for Pastor Mark as he is in Guatemala today, and our Steve and Miguel who are ministering to those children in Guatemala today. We know that our prayers are heard wherever we are, God. I pray that this message is productive and helpful for those who are listening to it, and that you'll give me the words that I need to say, God. I pray that you will be safe throughout the week, and that we will continue to keep you at the forefront of our minds. And today we'll learn how you are our comforter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wet morning, right?
Yes.
I heard they were talking about canceling the parades earlier today, so probably a good thing. That's probably what they need to do. I've been here for 6 years, and I've been to a few parades, some of the family-friendly parades, so don't drag me out of here. But personally, I feel like if you've been to one parade, you've been to a few of them, right? You've been to them all. But I love taking people to see them for the first time. And they're spellbound by it. It's really nothing else like it in the country. But yeah, hopefully this rain slacks off. My sinuses, my allergies, I'm done with them. So I'm ready for this weather to calm down and us to get over this sickness. Because as long as it's wet, you keep getting sick, and it's just not fun, right? So today we're going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Y'all want to turn there with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. My great uncle Earl lived through a majority of the last century. He was a veteran in the Korean War and Vietnam. He saw some pretty crazy things. He was also a woodworker, so he worked in the sawmills for most of his young adulthood. And I remember Uncle Earl, he had three fingers on his right hand because he didn't have the first two. But he had them at the joints, right? So he had two fingers here. So he would use what he's called his pinchers. And so he would chase us around and pinch us everywhere we went. I couldn't stand Uncle Earl for the first 3 years of my life. Did not like that man because of his little pincers. Now, he's seen some pretty crazy things, and he had a saying throughout his life that became a bit of a chant around our family. He said, now I'm going to give you the PG version of it because we're in church. Life is just one dang thing after another. Sometimes it's just one thing, one event, one crazy thing after another. Life is a long and uncomfortable process. Really, on the best day, sometimes the best you can do is get up, go to work, and hope that everything works out. Get home. Maybe you'll get in your warm bed tonight. I don't know. Hopefully you made your bed that morning. And I hope you can get there without much trouble along the way. But if any of you have lived in the real world for more than 5 minutes, you know that life almost never works out that way. You might get out the door late for work. That is me on a regular basis. I cannot be at anything on time. I don't know if it's the preacher in me or if it's just, I say that I run on a Caribbean time, right? I live on Africa time. When I was in India, I was a missionary there for a little while, and they would always set a time, which I don't know why they ever set a time, because every time we had the event, everyone would show up an hour and a half late. So you knew if you had a time for an event, everyone's going to show up at least an hour late. So you may show up late for work that day. You may get out the door and realize that you have a flat tire and you don't have time to fix it. Once you finally get to work, you have to deal with politics. And if you have worked at all, you know that you're never paid enough to do the job that you do. There's always a little bit of headroom there. And if you're like most Americans, you know that you could always use a little bit more money to get by. And it's definitely not what our time and our skills are worth. But when we were children, our parents took care of us, right? I minister to these children every day, and it's so refreshing to see them running around and playing and being full of energy because they don't have to think about bills. They don't have to think about where your next meal is going to come from. They don't have to think about how they're going to get to school in the morning. They don't have to think about those things. All they have to do is watch TV and go brush their teeth and go to bed on time. That's their whole life. That is really refreshing because they have all this abundant energy. But we don't have that anymore. As we get older, we get more responsibilities and we have more demands on our time. We're not free. We don't have our needs taken care of. They don't have to think about how much things cost. But we have to live with that thought in mind. I had a bit of a coming of age story, I'll say. When I was 13, 14 years old, I went to a Saints game. This was the first Saints game I'd ever been to. I was living in Mississippi at the time, and our church decided that they wanted to take a trip over and see a Saints game. I don't remember who was playing during that time, but I remember I was off the wall excited for this event. So we got there, and we got to halftime. So halftime came around, and we went to the concession stand, said we're going to go get something to eat. I was hungry, my dad was hungry, so we both went over there and got something to eat. So we're going to get a snack. So I'm looking, so you've been in the Superdome before. It's just rows and rows of concession stands and halls and stairs, and we got to one concession stand. This is one of the bigger ones. And I'm looking up at this board, and I'm dizzy. I'm thinking, there's pizza, there's nachos, there's fries, there's a 50-ounce Coke in a collector's cup that's $30. I'm dizzy with excitement. Now, I lived on the Mississippi coast, and I hadn't seen a lot in my life at that point. So this was like walking into, I don't know, a mansion or pandemonium. I'm just looking around. This is fantastic. Anything that I wanted, it was there. So I'm drowning in this paradise of high-calorie, grease-laden food. I couldn't help myself, and I kept looking, and my eyes kept getting wider and wider, and I kept thinking, I can get anything I want. This is my day. I think my dad saw me. And he looked over and he said, "Oh, you have money, don't you?" In that moment, I felt a brisk wind blow past me. I was taken out of that paradise of nacho cheese and fries and chili and out of all that, those smells and sensations, and I was pulled right back into the world. I had been working some different jobs, some odd jobs as a teenager, and I had a little money in my pocket. But my mind wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to spend this money on this overpriced concession stand food. No, I thought, Daddy's going to take care of it. Daddy's going to handle it. But my dad, being a little bit smarter than a 14-year-old boy, realized that I had been working. So he said, "You can buy your own food today." It was in that moment that I realized that concession food is a complete ripoff. It was a $9 Coke that I walked away with that day. Not a nachos, not any of the pizza, none of that. I walked away with much less than I walked in for. And I think we all kind of have those moments when you realize, oh, I'm responsible for myself now. I'm an adult. I have to take care of things. We grow up and we realize that comfort and security that we had always taken for granted comes at a very high price. And usually it's paid by someone else. Most of our lives is by our parents or guardians, grandparents, whoever happens to be our guardian. We grow up, they take care of us, they feed us, they dress us, they take us to school. They keep a roof over our heads. Sometimes it's a police officer. If you have an issue, what's the first thing you're told to do? Call 911. Call emergency services. Call the police. The police comes. He's paid to do this job. He's paid to protect you. He's paid to protect the community. He has to make a daily sacrifice every day to get up and deal with some of the harder aspects of life. We call him and we assume that he's going to protect us and be with us. Or it's a soldier. You know. Like my Uncle Earl, he was a soldier. And he went and he fought for our freedom. They have to make daily sacrifices on a regular basis to make sure that our lives are easier. And this is a thing that we take for granted on a regular basis. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You have enough stress in your life. We have enough stress in our lives. And we have to continually deal with those things. So it's good when you can count on somebody else to do the job that you can't do on your own. So Paul writes to the Corinthians in this letter. So the Corinthians they're an interesting bunch. The Corinthians kind of do what they want. He's been dealing with sexual immorality. He's been dealing with, in one part passage, where they're eating and drinking and getting drunk when they're at the Lord's Supper. They're dealing with inequality, so they're dealing with rich people getting favor over the poor people. And Paul really has laid into them in the first part of his letter to this church. And he's exacerbated. I mean, he's exhausted. He's just tired. And they've changed a lot. They come a long way since the first letter. But they still have some problems. One of the things that the Corinthians face on a regular basis is persecution. They're dealing with a lot of problems with their community, basically oppressing them. So he's writing from his last missionary journey. Paul has suffered many of these bad things as well. He's been shipwrecked. He's been thrown in prison. He's been attacked by religious people. Paul was a very interesting character. He's constantly getting harassed and dealing with really tough stuff on a regular basis. So he's had a rough time. So he opens this letter. This is in verse 3. He opens the letter with a prayer of thanksgiving, which was very common in those days. He said, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Will you repeat after me? God is our comforter. But what does that mean? What does it mean to say that God is our comforter? Think about your own father, or maybe someone that you thought of as a father. What should a father do? A father should comfort his children. He may give physical affection. He may give affirming words. He may give comfort to them when they're sick or they're hurt. God gives us a picture of how a father is supposed to interact with his children. He's present. He is loving. And he's emotionally available. He doesn't just sit and wait for us to get over it. He's not aloof. He's not sitting at a high over us, just waiting for us to get over our problems. Instead, he opens himself up and just listens to our pain. Why does he do this? Verse 4 says, He comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. What he doesn't say in this verse is that he only comforts us in our spiritual troubles. I think sometimes when we read the Bible, we just kind of think, this is spiritual stuff. This doesn't really apply to our lives. Our Father does not put a limit on what he will comfort us about. Life is very hard for each person. I heard a saying that says, be kind because every person is fighting a very hard battle. Every day we wake up, we fight new battles. When Jesus is talking about the sparrow, he says, each day comes with its own worry. Don't worry for tomorrow. And he was right. Because when we get up, every day is its own struggle. Now, I think that we should be kind to other people because everyone is made in the image of God. We have value because God is our creator. But the saying still rings true. We are all struggling with really hard things. The world can be a really brutal and uncaring place. I know I struggle with those things. How does God even know what it's like for us? I mean, he's God. He can do anything he wants. How can he deal with our problems every single day? There's an old blues song that goes, "Ain't nothing going on but the rent." We find our comfort in God through Jesus Christ. Will you repeat after me? God is our comforter through Christ. Verse 5 gives us hope. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Christ has experienced hard times that we live through. There's a saying in leadership that goes, you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you won't go. And say that again. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you won't go. God has perfect knowledge of everything. He knows everything all the time, and he always has. What I mean to say here is that Christ has lived through the sufferings that we live through. He became a man and suffered just like a man. He got hungry, he got tired, and he had to work. We can trust God to be our comforter. Not just because he's God, even though that would have been true. But he's also because we suffer just like Christ did. We can relate to him. Now, if I tell you to go fix your car, but I've never fixed a car before, I can't teach you how to fix a car. I can't tell you how to change the oil. I can't tell you how to change the air filters. I can't tell you how to change a tire. And I say, go change the tire, go fix the car. But I don't know how to do it. Are you going to listen to me? No. If I come in acting like I'm an expert on vehicles or cars, but I have never changed a tire, never done any of this, you're probably not going to listen to me. I'm not a leader in that point. Now, some people who are politicians can get away with that for some reason. I still haven't figured out how they're able to manage that, but a good leader is one who has experienced those things and knows those things firsthand. Jesus Christ, in this instance, has, in our sense, he has fixed the car. He has dealt with these things. He has got his hands dirty in the mud with us. And we know that we can trust him because he's done that for us. We can look at the second half of verse 4. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. It's not just us who go through hard times. We're not the only ones who go through hard times. Everyone around you, in your life, in your jobs, in your schools, they're struggling with things too. For many of us, the easy life doesn't exist. I'm still holding out hope for that rich relative for that deep inheritance, but That would be nice, but I don't think that's coming. So we have to deal with suffering and inconveniences every day. For us, it's even harder because we have to live by God's word, which tells us how to live, how we ought to interact and treat people, and not just the world, how the world gets by lying, cheating, stealing from other people. So not only do we have to deal with these struggles, we also can't cheat. We have to live by God's word. This obedience to God's word and comfort that we find through Jesus allows us to give comfort to others who suffer, because we no longer suffer without a father. God is our heavenly father, and unlike our earthly fathers, he gives us love and security without any limits. But we can't hold this into ourselves. We can now give the comfort to others who struggle with disease and pain and hopelessness. Repeat after me. God is our comforter through Christ so that we can comfort others. God is our comforter in Christ so that we can comfort others. So where does that leave us? That means that as believers, we don't have to struggle with the daily life in the same way that unbelievers do. If you want comfort in the security that God gives, you can just go to him. God is a father. I think a lot of times we think about God as sitting on a throne, as some distant relative that lives across town that you see maybe once a year or around Christmas time. And he's not really present. He's not really there. But God is just like a father. I heard a song. I think it was by Carrie Job. I think it was a praise and worship leader, and she said, "God is our father, and we can crawl into his lap." What does a father do with his young children? He puts them in their lap. He holds them. He listens to them. He talks to them. He reads to them. That's what my father did anyway. I remember we spent a lot of time together, and we would nap together, and we'd fall asleep to the television, and those were really great times, and it meant a lot to me that he did those things. And God is the same way. God is constantly wanting relationship with us. God is constantly wanting us to come to him, just like a child would come to his father. So when you're praying, pray to God when you're stressed out or you're afraid. He's a father waiting for his children. I had a situation about a year ago where this was very applicable. I was living in a house at the time. I had just resigned from my job, and there was a roommate that I was living with. And this roommate and we didn't dislike each other, but we got along okay. But we weren't exactly best friends. And if you've lived here any number of years as a renter, you'll know that every year there's a rent increase that comes around. I did not look forward to this ever at all. So he came around and he said, "Okay, well, I know you're paying this amount, so we're going to come around and increase it by 10%. So when you sign your next lease, which is going to be in a month, when you sign your next lease, this is going to be what you need to, you owe me. This is going to be what you need to pay me. This is what you owe me." Well, I knew that my roommate was not going to want to hear that. So I went and talked to him, sat him down, and said, "Hey, listen, this is our yearly renewal. This is our yearly rent increase. So I need you to come in here, and we're going to sign this, and this is what you're going to owe for the next year." He didn't like that. So the next day, I heard a friend. They called me up and said, "Hey, did you know so-and-so has a dorm? He's moving out." No, he hadn't told me. So I confronted him. I said, "Hey, what's going on, man?" And he said, "I'm moving out, and I'll be out by the end of the week." I said, "Okay, well, are you going to cover this month, or are we going to do any of that?" He said, "No, I'm out of here. See you later. I'll have my things out by the end of the week." Well, that left me with a pretty big gap. And so I was panicking at this point. How am I going to come up with this amount of money, this half of the rent? So I went and talked to a friend of mine. And my friend sat me down and said, listen, I know that you're afraid. I know that you're angry at this person, but understand that you're a Christian and this person is not a believer. And a believer wouldn't act this way. God has a plan for you and God's going to take care of you. Now, I'm struggling with anxiety. How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to make all this work? But I talked to this friend, and I believe that God sent that friend to speak to me on a personal level and say, listen, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Through the course of everything, I had some friends who came through and helped me get through the rest of that month. And I was able to move on and move out of that house without much problem. Through that time, that challenge in dealing with that, I learned that comfort can always come through different ways. It can come through a friend. It can come through a believer. It can come through different ways. Because God is always looking out for you, and He's going to take care of you regardless of the circumstances. So God is our comforter through Christ so that we can comfort others. And this friend was obeying that edict. So what's that leave us with? If you're a believer, seek comfort in Him. Pray to Him. Talk to your friends, the people that you trust and care about, the believers in your church, in your Sunday school rooms, in the people that you know care about you. God knows you, and He knows what it means to suffer in pain. He died a really terrible death on the cross, and He was buried and rose again on the third day. And He was sacrificed so that we can have hope and freedom like a child. Won't you come and surrender to His love? God is our Father, and He wants what's best for us. He wants us to draw close to Him and listen to Him and let Him love on us. Because life is hard. Life is tough. Going out there every day, dealing with people, dealing with, gosh, now we're at tax season. You know, the April's coming around and we're going to have to either pay or if we're very lucky and they've been taking too much out of our check, get paid. But these are typical things that we have to deal with every day. Getting up every day, going to work, you know, and dealing with family struggles. Gosh, if anyone has dealt with them on a regular basis, it's me. I mean, just dealing with family choices and dealing with these things on a regular basis, it wears you down, you know. You're just like, can I just take a vacation? Just let me go to Tahiti. Give me my coconut. Just let me. Why does it have to be this way constantly? I think I heard a statistic one day that said that Americans don't use most of their vacation. They use maybe a week of it altogether. That we leave days where we have the potential to go and rest and take comfort in those things, but we don't take them. I think it's just a culture, like we're just expected to continually work every day. So if you have vacation, take it. You have my permission to do that. Take your vacation. Take comfort in God. Take rest in God, and embrace that. That comfort is there for you. So as you go through your week and you're dealing with illnesses, and gosh, I work at a ER. I work at an emergency room, and so I'm a valet, so I park cars. And every day we have people come in. We have irregulars, the people who come in, and we park their cars. And then we have people who are coming in, who are just coming into the emergency room. One of the funniest things that happen on a regular basis there is people pull up and they say, oh, is the emergency room full today? Well, if you're asking that question, you don't need an emergency room, right? So we can look in and we can peek in, but it's a triage system, right? So whoever's the most sick goes in. But we have irregulars who come in every day. And they're coming in for their appointments, and they're coming in for their dialysis. Sometimes they're coming in for different reasons. And it's a really good thing because we get to talk to them and get to know them. There's one guy who's a really nice guy. His name's Loggy. He comes in. He's a Vietnam veteran, and he tips really well, which is why I like Loggy. Loggy's a very interesting character, and he comes in, and he's getting his, he's a diabetic, so he comes in and gets some of these things done. I'm changing names so that I'm staying within the law here. But he comes in, and he tips us very well, and we take him in, and he comes in every single day. But he has to deal with those things on a regular basis. You know, my mother's a type 2 diabetic, and she has to deal with insulin and medications and these things on a regular basis. And you get to know these people over time, and they have their good days, and they have their bad days. And as it goes on, we have the opportunity to minister to them, and we have the opportunity to listen to them and talk to them. And one of the things that is a recurring thing with them is that they just get tired. You just have to get up, go through the motions. Sometimes they're driving themselves. Sometimes they don't have family there that's there to take care of them. And so they just get tired. And they're just looking for comfort. So we listen to them, and we talk to them, and we develop a relationship with them. So God is that for us too. You know, he's the one that we can rest in and take comfort in. And above all else, these things that we suffer with, God suffered through as well. So as you go through your week and you're dealing with these things, just remember God is there. Pray to him, talk to your friends, share your vulnerabilities, the things that you're struggling with, that you're tired with. God is there to take care of you and listen to you. Because he's a good father. Even if we didn't have good fathers, God is our good father. Let's pray. Father, we have so much in you, God. We have such great comfort, such great energy. We have an opportunity to be close to you. You, the God of all, the God of the universe, came down to come deal with us, to live with us, to struggle with the things that we struggle with. You've called us and said, come, listen to me, sit in my lap, let me care for you, let me love you. You've given us friends and believers who can walk with us in these struggles, God, in whatever difficult things that we face. And I pray if there's anyone here that is facing some tough times, whether that's making the rent this month or paying a bill, dealing with sicknesses, dealing with family issues, there's no limit to what needs to be done or what we face. But above all else, you're the Holy Spirit through you can comfort us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Be with us as we go through the week. And if there's anyone who's dealing with this, comfort them, be with them. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know that comfort, God, I pray that they'll surrender their lives to you. Acknowledge that you came, died, and rose again on the third day, and that you are Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, and I'll pray that as those in Guatemala hear Mark and Steve and Miguel, that you'll provide comfort to those that they preach to, God. Comfort through them, comfort for the future, and a hope through their church, God. Be with us as we go through the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.